Chapter 4 is where we're going to take our scripture reading this morning, Acts chapter 4. I'll let you take a moment, find that passage, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and in the book of Acts. And if you'll find chapter 4, verses 8 through 12 will be our reading for this morning. We'll take our message from here in just a moment. Acts chapter 4. Brother Greg, the monitors seem a little potent this morning. Okay, just a little loud. If you can take those down just a tad. Is it too loud out there where you're sitting this morning? It's okay. All right. And I hope you can hear in the back. Well, all right. Very good. Very good. Let's stand together, please, and honor God's Word. Acts chapter 4. We're going to read responsively this morning, verses 8 through 12. I'll read the even verses, 8, 10, and 12. Would you please join me on 9 and 11 if you have a Bible? If you don't, just follow along. We'll read these together, beginning with verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Dear Father, I pray that you'll take now your word, add your blessing to it. It's a blessed thing to read your Bible. And then, Lord, it's a blessed thing to hear it preached. And I pray that you'll come in great power upon us this morning, both speaker and listener. Give us an anointing in this room that'll cause us, Lord, to concentrate, be mindful of the things that are said. And may the Spirit of God have complete access to everybody's heart here today, please. May no one shut him out or turn a deaf ear toward him. Speak to us, help us, bless us, and we'll thank you. Bless the song to come, the message to follow, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please.
Still the name. Thank you, Beth. Wonderful song this morning. I don't know the special music. I don't have any idea what's coming. I know who's singing. I don't know what they're singing. I know what the choir song is because we practiced it the week before. I don't know the congregational songs that are on the rotation for every Sunday. But I know this about today. Seems like the Lord wants us to know about Jesus. Amen. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Jesus saves from the choir. Rock of Ages, which is about Jesus. Congregational song. And then we sang about One Day, which is all about Jesus. And then we heard this song now, It's Still the Cross. And I want to speak about Him this morning. I want you to see verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And in case you wonder what name that's talking about, Peter tells us in verse number 10, Peter's words here, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, that's the name he's talking about in verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men. Now, I want to speak this morning on the subject, no plan B. No, have you ever looked at somebody and said, well, plan B? You ever carried out plan B? Isn't that life? Isn't that sometimes some of you men on the job, you have to be, you know, the ability to be flexible and, you know, and plan B. And sometimes C, D, E, and F, and on it goes. But in this, what I'm going to talk about this morning, there's no plan B. None. Okay? There's no plan B, and we're going to get into it this morning. Please lend me your ear. I hope the Spirit of God will speak to your heart this morning. Let's pray together. My dear Father, thank you for the beautiful song, It's Still the Cross. And it is. And it's the one who died on that cross that made the cross special. It's about Jesus. We're going to talk about Him this morning in this message. But, oh, Holy Ghost of God, we need you to help us now. Fill us with your power and anointing that only you can give. And, Lord, bless the listener, please. Bless the listener in need this morning, God, please. Draw men to Christ. Draw women to Christ. Young people, boys and girls. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Acts chapter 3, previous chapter. We won't look at it. Let me fill you in. Peter and John going to the temple in Jerusalem to pray at about 3 p.m., the ninth hour of the Jewish day. They go to the temple through the Gate Beautiful. At the Gate Beautiful, there is a man laying there, crippled legs. He's been lame from his mother's womb, the Bible says, lame from birth. And they approach the man, and he is there begging for money. He's begging for alms, which is what was commonplace in that day to help the poor. And please help me. And he looks at Peter and John, and he says, do you have any alms for the poor? Any alms for the poor? And Peter looks down at him, fastens his eyes on him, the Bible says, and says, look at us. The man fastened his eyes on Peter. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none. That's how we know Peter and John were Baptists. Amen. They didn't have any money. Amen. Probably Bible college students. Amen. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I unto thee. And he reached down and took the hand. He took his right hand, reached down and took the hand of that lame man. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now I want you to hear that. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now, Peter had no power in himself. Peter was not a faith healer. His handkerchief didn't have any power. His bricks didn't have any power. But that name of Jesus has all power. He said in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And that man, the Bible says, leaped upon his feet and went walking and leaping and praising God. Now, can I tell you, friend, that would create a stir? It created a stir. You say, Pastor, all the buses up and down the streets and boys and girls in the Walmart parking lot passing out tracts and Kmart passing out. Man, what do the people in the town think? At least they know we're here. Yeah, you kind of read the Bible, you kind of get the idea that New Testament churches were kind of, you know, focal points of activity. Kind of got things stirred up a little bit. So this man's walking and leaping. This is a man, everybody knew him. He'd been at that gate all of his life, been lame all of his life, and laying at that gate day after day after day. This creates a stir, an interest, if you will. Now, Peter and John, they were fairly well-known followers of Jesus Christ, at least in the community of believers that was following the Lord. And those that were others in Jerusalem who did not believe that Jesus was Messiah, they hated those followers of Christ. And because Peter and John were kind of leaders of that group, they hated especially Peter and John. And something like this for them was hard to swallow, because unfortunately they had nothing like this to offer. Now they had religion, but religion is dead. They didn't have Jesus. And Jesus is life. So they didn't have anything. And boy, this really, I mean, really was hard for them to swallow. Here was a man walking around telling everybody that the power in the name of Jesus made him well. Now, can I tell you what happened on that day? 5,000 men converted to Christianity. 5,000 men, the Bible says, converted to salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, can you see these religious leaders, these elders, these chief priests of the Jews? They're seeing 5,000 men join the ranks of the followers of Christ. They are unhappy. And so in chapter 4, these religious rulers, they pull Peter and John in for an interrogation. And they ask them in verse number 7, by what power or by what name have you done this? How has this happened? You explain this to us. How is this man, who was for years lame from his mother's womb, never walked, been a beggar all of his life, how is he walking and leaping and praising God, and 5,000 people join your ranks? How has this happened? And Peter said in verse number 10, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, then he said, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. It's pretty, I mean, he says that this little proof right here. By the name of Jesus Christ, this man has been made well. Now I want you to see verse number 11. Are you there? If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. But look at verse number 11 if you have one. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. He said, this is the stone set at naught of you builders. Now, we've been talking this month, the month of April and into the first week in May here, about building. Building with the Master Builder. And on Sunday mornings, we've been talking about this subject, building our relationship with God. Building a relationship with God. Now, let me say something this morning. Everybody in this room either has or does not have a relationship with God. Now, I don't know what kind of condition that relationship is in. That's a big varied topic. But everybody either has or does not have a relationship with God. You say, Pastor Angel, hold just a minute here. I've been told that all people are children of God. That's why you have the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. I don't know where they got that, but they didn't get that out of the Bible. Okay? So, you either have or do not have a relationship with God. We've been talking about building a relationship with God. I want to say this. This is the crux of the message this morning. Listen carefully. Everybody who wants to build a relationship with God must start with someone. And that someone's name is Jesus Christ. You have to start with Jesus. That's where you have to begin. That's why Peter said in verse number 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. The stone is Jesus Christ. He, in His name, that lame man was made whole. It was His name that Peter and John and others were witnessing about all throughout Jerusalem. It was His name, the name of Jesus, that was causing such a stir. It was His name that had all power. His name. That stone is Jesus Christ. The builders. You see it in verse number 11? The builders, which was said at naught of you builders. That's the Jewish leaders who wanted to build a kingdom. They wanted to build a religious kingdom for God. The Jewish builders looked at Jesus Christ came, was born in Bethlehem's manger, 30 years of age. He presented himself as the Messiah to the Jewish elders, and they said, no. No, sir. Not a man who was born of Mary and didn't have, claims not to have an earthly father. We don't want a Messiah like you, a carpenter's son, an apprentice carpenter. No, they rejected Jesus Christ. Watch me. They set at naught the stone. They rejected Jesus Christ. We don't believe you are the Messiah who is to come and help us build a kingdom for God. We don't accept you. And so they rejected Jesus. In fact, they did more than reject Him. They crucified Him. And they did more than crucify Him. They buried Him. And they put Him in a grave. And they thought, you know what? That's the end of Him. He's gone. But 3 days and three nights later, He proved He was the Son of God. He proved He was Messiah because He walked out of that grave alive. Came out of that tomb triumphant over death. Now, His followers were telling everybody about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. They were filling Jerusalem with their doctrine. He is the Savior. Savior. People were accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. Watch this. The stone that the builders, the stone that the Jewish leaders had thrown away, had become the corner piece. He had become the headstone of people's faith in God. His followers, watch it now, were not just adding, His followers were multiplying. Can I tell you that numbers get large real quick when you start multiplying? They were multiplying. And so here are these Jewish leaders. They took the stone, Jesus, who came to help build the kingdom of God, and they threw it away. We don't want you. We were throwing the stone away. And the one they had thrown away, crucified, buried, tried to get rid of, came back to life 3 days, 3 days later, walked out of the grave. He ascended to heaven 40 days later. His followers were filled with the Holy Spirit. And now people, by the thousands, were coming to Jesus Christ for salvation. Kind of backfired on them, didn't it? Now listen very carefully. The builders set aside the one person they had to begin building with. They had to begin building with Jesus. But they rejected Him. Look at verse number 12. Look at what Peter said. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what Peter said? No plan B, boys. No plan B. God only has one plan. That's plan A. There is no plan B when it comes to building a relationship with God. You must begin with Jesus Christ. And you took Jesus and threw Him off to the side. And instead, what you're left with is not going to work. No plan B. Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning. In Bible days, when it came to building buildings, the cornerstone was the most important piece of the building. When we think of the term cornerstone, we think of, you know, the cornerstone, one of the stones of the building that's chosen, and the year is etched in there, the year of construction, and that this building is dedicated, you know, and it's just one of the stones kind of chosen to look special. That's not the cornerstone in Bible days. In Bible days, when you got ready to put a building up, the cornerstone was not the ornate, decorated stone. The cornerstone was the most precisely cut, the most carefully crafted stone of the entire building. Now, I want you to picture in your mind a builder. You know, maybe Bibbo the builder, for those of you that have been here on Wednesday night. Okay, I'm just joking. He's got a construction hat on, okay? He's got a tool pouch on. He's got his straps holding that tool pouch up. He's got his hammer. He's got his tools. He's got his saws. He's got his building material. He's got the ground bought and purchased. He's got the design all laid out, and the blueprints and so forth and so on. He is ready day one to start building. Oh, groundbreaking day is always an exciting day. I never forget when they came here on the last day of February 2000 and the bulldozers showed up and started moving the dirt that used to sit underneath where this building is right now. Man, that was an exciting day. So here's the builder. He said, okay, we're ready to start the build. Bring the material. And the first stone that they bring is the cornerstone. It's precisely cut. It's accurately made. Precision with this thing. I mean, it is absolutely the greatest care because off of that cornerstone, He's going to line up both walls. It has to be almost perfect. And they're lugging over this cornerstone, big heavy stone, designed to carry the weight of the building. And the builder with his construction hat and his overalls and his tool pouch and everything, he says, no, I don't want that one. I saw one over there that was prettier. It was a different color, a little lighter. The texture was a little nicer. I don't want that one. Bring me that one. No, take that. Get that out of here. Get that away. And he rejects it. The stone that was designed, engineered, to stand the weight of the building, The stone that was designed to be so accurately, precisely created so as you could build the straight walls of the building, he rejects it. He sends it back. I mean, do you understand how important that is? It's the stone that means everything to that building. He says, no, I don't want that. Bring me that one over there. Now, different scenario. I want you to picture in your mind a person. Okay? Any person. Maybe the picture is you. Picture in your mind a person. Picture, maybe it's me. Maybe it's somebody that's not in this room. Maybe it's somebody you know. But picture in your mind a person, if you would. The gender, doesn't matter. Male or female, doesn't matter. A color of skin, doesn't matter. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the color of the skin. Age, oh, I would say at least age 5 or 6, where they're able to know the difference between right and wrong and make choices of right and wrong. 5 and 6, 4, 5, 6, you know, and someone that you have pictured in your mind right now. Are you ready? Okay. This person wants to build a relationship with God. Okay? Not a physical building. They don't want to put a building up. They want to have a relationship with God. Something in their heart craves and desires a relationship with God. You know what? I drove home from prayer meeting last night, and the only thing wonderful about yesterday was the sunset. That sun went down as a great big ball of fire in the west. And I was driving home into the sun on 102, turned right on our road to go north, and then it's off to my left. And I'm looking at that great big ball, and you can almost see it set. You know what I mean, right? You can almost see it. And I'm thinking, that's magnificent. And that is tremendous. And then it dawns on me, I know the one who made that. I talked to him this morning. I told somebody about him today. And I shouted in my car. You say, oh yeah, I shouted, spit all over the windshield. All the detailing that those seniors had done cleaning my car, that's all spit on, all over it. I shouted because I know the one who made this. I know the one who made it. And by the way, the Bible, there's a great book out there, get it sometime called Eternity in Their Hearts. Every person is born into this world with at least some craving, some desire to know God. I may be talking about somebody in this room this morning. You know, God has always just kind of been a name, a word. But you know He's more than a name. He's a person. So here's this person. They want to build a relationship with God. You still got Him in the picture of your mind. They want to build a relationship with God. Not a physical building, but a spiritual relationship. God has already designed how the relationship begins. He's already drawn it up. It's already decided. And God says, great. You want a relationship with me? That's wonderful. I want one with you. Now, here's how we start. We start with Jesus Christ. We don't start with church. We don't start with baptism. We don't start with trying to be good. We don't start with trying to get better before I have... No, we start with Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone. He is the one precisely designed, engineered, crafted, if you will, to begin this building relationship between me and you. And the person in the picture of your mind says, no. No, God, I'm interested in a relationship with you, but not through Jesus. No. I don't think I want it that way. I'm going to try to get some things straightened out, and then we'll see how this thing works. And I'll join a church, and we'll see how this thing works. You know, and I believe in you, God, but this thing of Jesus Christ and salvation, no, I'll try something else. Are you listening this morning? There is no plan B. There is no plan B. Listen to me, folks. The one who's building the physical building, if he rejects the cornerstone, he has a better chance at just happening on another stone that might work than you do rejecting Jesus Christ. When it comes to a spiritual relationship, there is no plan B. There is nothing else that will substitute for Jesus. You must start with Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want you to understand this morning, the relationship with God, you want to build with God, has to begin with Jesus Christ. Now watch me. This is pictured in several places in the Bible. For sake of time, can I just name them instead of having you turn to them? All right. We got Genesis chapter 6 and 7. Okay? God looks down from heaven and He sees that man has gone just chaos. Total wickedness. Filth. God comes to a man named Noah who's trying to serve Him and He says, Noah, I'm done. It grieves me that I've made man. Man is not in a relationship with me. Man is doing his own thing. Eat, drinking, and being merry, running hither and yon, living his own life. I'm done with it. I'm going to destroy all of mankind. Now, Noah, I've seen you and your wife and your sons and their wives, and I will tell you what, I'm going to protect you. I want you to build a boat. It's called an ark. It's a great big thing. It has three stories. And he said, in a few days, a few years, I'm going to send a flood. And folks, the flood God's talking about is not a 40-day rain. The flood was a cataclysmic opening of the heavens where water just engulfed this place. He said, now, Noah, you've got 120 years to get folks on that boat. He preached. He warned. He told them for 120 years, God's judgment is coming. Get on the boat. God's judgment is coming. It's time. When I tell you to get on the boat, you need to get on the boat. Day came. God said, Noah, get in. Noah gets on the boat. Mrs. Noah gets on the boat. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Mrs. Shem, Mrs. Ham, Mrs. Japheth get on the boat. Noah says, come on! Come on! They reject it. They don't get on the boat. God shuts the door. And brother, then chaos as water engulfs. Can I tell you, there was no plan B. When the folks... Listen to me this morning. God is... I'm away from my notes right now, but that's okay because God can give me some... God is a long-suffering God. He is a patient God. But hear me. When He moves in judgment, it's quick. Say, well, I don't understand. At least He couldn't let it, you know, drizzle for a few hours. They had 120 years. How much more time do they need? People sit in a church service week after week after week, come to a Sunday school class, not saved. One of these days. I'm going to tell you something, pal. You don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when God says get saved. God said get on the boat. They didn't. There was no plan B. No plan B. None. That's the first instance. Let's go to the second instance. Israelites are down in Egypt. Don't turn this over to Exodus chapter 12. Israelites are down in Egypt. They've been oppressed. They've been down there for 430 years. And for several of those years, they've been slaves. They've been oppressed. They're forced to make brick. God sees their condition. God hears their pleas for deliverance. Oh, God, deliver us. Oh, God, deliver us. Oh, God, deliver us. And God comes to Moses on the backside of the desert and says, Moses, you're the man. I'm sending you down there to deliver my children. Go down there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He goes down and tells Pharaoh, let the people go. Things go from bad to worse. You hear what I just said? Do you realize sometimes when you're doing the will of God, obeying God, things still go from bad to worse? He's where he is because God told him to be there. He says what he says because God told him to say it. It goes from bad to worse. Huh. Well, the Israelites are too idle. Okay, we used to provide the straw for the brick. No longer. They go get the straw, they make the brick, and none of the total production is going to cut back. Total production. It's bad. Finally, through all those plagues, and Pharaoh hardening his heart, no. God comes to Moses and says, this is it. He said, tonight's the night. I'm passing through the land. Judgment has come. This is how it's going to be. You tell folks if they want to be spared judgment, they kill the lamb, they take the blood, they put it on the lintel and the doorposts. They put it above the door, and they put it on both sides with a hyssop. They put the blood up there. They said, when I pass over the land tonight at midnight, if I see the blood on the door, I'm going by. But if there's no blood on that door, firstborn child's going to die. Now you tell them. All right. Moses got the grip. Folks, here it is. Judgment coming tonight. God's passing through the land. He's done. You take the blood of the lamb, put it on the lintel on the doorpost. God passes over. You don't put the blood on the doorpost. Firstborn child dies. Can you see some of them? Yeah, we've heard this nonsense before. Yeah, we know, we know. Yeah, we know Moses. Yeah. Midnight comes. God passes through the land. Bible says you could hear the cries of the people in the land of Egypt as their firstborn children began to die because there was no blood on the doorpost. There's no plan B. Put the blood on the door, no plan B. Are you listening this morning? We're talking about building a relationship with God. There's no plan B. Third one, Numbers. Children of Israel in the wilderness. They're complaining, they're murmuring, they're griping. Why didn't you bring us out here? Man, we had it good in Egypt. We had better food to eat, we had water to drink, we had a place to sleep. What is it? God says, that's it. Enough of that. Fiery serpents invade the camp. Listen to me, folks. We're not talking about one little snake running through the camp. We're talking about an infestation of poisonous snakes coming out of the desert. And if you know anything about nature, some of the most poisonous snakes in the world live in the desert. So here comes these poisonous snakes by the droves. They start biting people. People start dying. I mean, the poison is like the black or green mamba. They're gone in a matter of seconds. Moses runs to God and says, God, please help us. What do I do? God said, Moses, take some brass, melt it down. Make a pole, and then out of the other brass that's left, make a serpent. Make the figure of a snake. Wrap it around that pole, stick that pole up in the air, and go through the camp and tell everybody, you want to get well? Look at that pole. You want to get well? Look at that pole. You want to live? Look at that pole. You know what, folks? The Bible says those who looked, lived. And the amazing thing is many didn't. And they died. That means the cure is there. There was no plan B. I don't want to look at a stupid pole. I'm going to do this. He didn't make it to do that. Because there's no plan B. Listen this morning. One way to be delivered from sin. One way to be delivered from judgment. One way to be delivered from the flames of hell. One way. There was one ark. There was one blood on the doorpost. There was one brass snake. And they are all pictures in some way of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. This is how it has always been. One way. One starting place. One person to begin building with. One. Not one and a half. Not two. Not 20. One. Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. No plan B. And look, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I am nobody. I'm just the voice this morning, chosen to stand here and speak. Don't take an issue with me, folks. I'm the body. This is what God has said. No plan B. New Testament. Crucifixion day. Three crosses are carried to that hill. Right? The one in the middle is Jesus Christ. The one on the right side, your left, my right, a thief. The one on my left side, your right, a thief. They're nailed to the cross. Sun beating down. People standing out there jeering at Jesus. Yeah! Look at you now. You could do other people good, but look, what are you going to do for yourself? Listen to me. The Bible says that both thieves began to criticize it. Yeah, Jesus, if you're who you say you are, get us all off the cross. Yeah, come on. Get us off this cross. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Son of God. I mean, they're laying it on. Now watch me. They're on the cross for 6 hours. Somewhere during that 6 hour period, one of those thieves, he's been watching, he's been listening, and he realizes there's something different about this man in the middle. Come on, Lord. The Lord, supposed to be God, get us down. Come on. Are you say you are? Come on, get us down. This old boy says, hey, enough. He said, truth of the matter is, we deserve to be here. We're thieves. But him, he's done nothing wrong. Can't you tell there's something different about him? And then he speaks to the Savior and says, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Jesus said, what? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. You realize, friend, that that thief, in the last few hours of his life, began a relationship with God, but it did not start until he began it with Jesus Christ. And this guy had the same opportunity, but in his pride, he said, no, I'm not doing that. I'll take my chances. There's no plan B. That builder is going to take that cornerstone and he's going to lay it. It's measured so accurately. It's designed so precisely. Everything by that building is measured by that stone. Are you listening? When it comes to a relationship with God, He measures everything by Jesus Christ. Everything. I was out when I was out in Washington, Iowa. Pastor Brown led a man to Christ whose name was Bud Smith. Bud got saved. I can't remember if Bud got baptized. Shortly after he got saved, he got bad cancer. I don't remember if he had cancer when he got saved or found out afterwards. And Bud had bad cancer that advanced rapidly. And he passed away. We had his funeral service. Bud was a bachelor, lived with his brother by the name of Pete. I remember Pete sitting at the funeral home, and the tears trickling down his cheeks. Rough old boy. Tears trickling down his cheeks. His older brother now dead and buried. And I went to see Pete, and others of us did. We tried to witness to Pete. And Pete just kept saying, no, 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 no. I picked up Andy. Andy Davis drove into town from Crawfordsville one day. I had prearranged the time to go visiting with him. I think it was a Tuesday morning. Don't quote me on that. Might have been a Thursday morning. But Andy met me at the church. He was a teenage boy in my youth group. We went to see Pete. Sat in a little living room. Andy and I sat on a little couch over here. Pete sat in a chair over there. And Pete let me take the Bible and tell him about Jesus Christ. He listened good. And I said, Pete, won't you trust Christ today? Bud's in heaven. Bud got saved. Won't you trust him today? Won't you trust him today? He said, no, no. He said, you know, one of these days I'm going to die. And right before I die, I'm going to take care of that. And I said, Pete, don't talk like that. He got up from his chair. He walked over to where I was sitting. And I could tell he was agitated. He leaned over like he was going to tell me something, but it wasn't with his head. He put his chest down near my face. He said, you hear that? I said, hear what? He said, they put a pacemaker in my heart some years, and it's going to last 10 years. You hear that? He turned around at 180, went and sat back down. I said, Pete, don't talk like that. Pacemakers don't keep you alive. God does. Now, that was on a Tuesday. It was either the following Thursday or Friday, a week later. I'm in the office there at the church. And the phone rings, and it's John Monk, the proprietor of Jones Funeral Home. Terry, this is John Monk from the funeral home. Hey, John, how you doing? Doing well. Terry, we got a man passed away last night. He has no church, but he had some connection through his brother to your church. His name is Pete Smith. I couldn't believe it. 9 days earlier, he crossed his living room, bent his chest down and said, "Do you hear that? I've got 10 years. He didn't have 10 days. And he said no to Christ. And when he said no to Christ, he took the cornerstone that God designed for the relationship and set it at naught. Now, listen to me very carefully and I'm done. Down through the years since 1969, Faith Baptist Church has had Sunday morning services like this one. And the Bible has been preached. And Jesus has been exalted. And people through the years have walked down this aisle and let people take a Bible and show them how to get saved. Not trickery, not gamesmanship, not signing anybody up for a Baptist church membership. I mean, people have walked down the aisle and had somebody show them from the Bible how to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, how to be saved. Many have done that. On the other hand, many have turned around and walked the other way. And I'm begging you this morning, whether you're in the balcony, in the back row, or in the front, if you're not saved, it's time. How can you look around at this world? It's time. And if you want to start that relationship with God, it's got to start with Jesus. And there's no plan B. Please don't leave here in a moment without God. Please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I thank you for listening this morning. Please, when you bow your head and close your eyes, please keep your ears attentive. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many would say, "Pastor Angel, I've been saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If I died right now, here is my testimony. If I died right now, I, K-N-O-W, I know I would go to heaven. If I died right now, I know I would go to heaven. I know it. All I'm going to ask you to do is be honest. Please be honest. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. Be honest before God. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the room, front to back, side to side, balcony, bottom floor. I know that I'm saved. Thank you. Take your hands down. Many raised their hands. Some could not. I appreciate your honesty. How many right now would say, "Pastor Angel, you asked me to be honest, and I was. I could not raise my hand just then. I do not know where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't know if I've ever been born again, saved, whatever this terminology is. I don't know. I don't know. But I know that I'm concerned about it. And what was preached this morning interested me and touched my heart. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven." Would you slip your hand in the air? Would you do that, please, wherever you sit? Just slip it right up in the air. Put it right back down. "I'm not sure that I'm saved." Just slip it up. Put it right. I'm not going to call your name, come to you. Balcony, bottom floor. "I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I want to know how I can know for sure that I'm going to heaven someday. Pray for me." Now, most people raised their hands that they were saved, but some did not. Some did not. And you're honest. And I appreciate you being honest. Please. Please be honest now. "Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I didn't raise my hand a moment ago. I'll raise it now. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me?" Somebody in this room this morning, would you do that? "Not sure that I'm saved." Somebody. All right. If you're sure that you're saved, have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? Maybe there's some folks here this morning would say, "Pastor Angel, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. I've followed the Lord of believers' baptism, and I need to." Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that this morning? "I've been saved, but not baptized." Maybe you came this morning prepared to get baptized. If you did that, why don't you step out right now while we wait? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. And you came to be baptized this morning. Anybody like that while we wait? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. All right? Who would say this morning, "Pastor, I'm saved, have a relationship with God, but that relationship is not in the best condition right now. I'm not close to God. I'm far away. Things have come into my life. I've gone from Him. He hasn't gone from me. I know I'm saved, but I'm not in good relationship with God. Pray for me." Would you raise your hand this morning where you sit? God bless you. I see that. And you, and many others. God bless you. I appreciate that. Somebody else needs to raise their hand. Somebody else. We're going to pray in just a moment. not sure that I'm saved. And I'm saved, but not, I'm not in a good relationship with God this morning. All right? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're not sure that you're saved, and you didn't want to raise your hand when we begin the invitation, I want you to come. Step out. Come right down to the front. If you're in the balcony, come to the side, down the steps to the front. Somebody can show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you should be baptized, you came to obey the Lord in that matter, you step out and come, follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Okay? If you want to come pray at this altar, Lord, my relationship with you is not good, then you come. Or if you want to say this morning, Pastor, we've been thinking about it, we've talked to you, Brother Caleb, somebody, we want to join the church, you come at the invitation time. I'm going to pray. Dear Father, I preach the Word of God just as fervently as I know how. And Lord Jesus, I pray if there's anybody in this room this morning who does not have a relationship with God through you, that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, I pray no one will leave this room this morning without submitting to salvation in Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, I pray that you'll help maybe some who've sat and heard it and heard it and heard it, turned away from it, Lord, to decide this is the day. No more. No more. My husband's saved. My wife is saved. I got children. I'm not going to gamble with eternity. Lord, help them to see that so important today. The Lord bless any who need to be baptized. Bless these that lifted a hand this morning about a better relationship with you. And Lord, bless those that need to join the church to do so. We love you, dear God. And thank you for a relationship with you through Jesus. Thank you for Jesus Christ who came. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand just a moment. Ladies are going to play the organ and piano. When they do, if you're not sure that you're saved, I beg you. Heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. It won't be bad. Step down the aisle and come to one of these men and say, I need to be saved. They'll help you know how to be saved. They'll take you to somebody who can show you that. If you need to be baptized, you obey the Lord. All right? Do what God says. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing. You come this morning. You come. Whatever the need is, step out and come. If you're not sure that you're saved, I would say this is the time. This is the moment. This is the place. This is the time. Would you come? Step down the aisle like many have done through the years. Come and trust Christ as Savior. Would you do that while we wait? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. As the Lord moves in your heart, you come this morning.